Good evening, everyone. Please open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 15. We have a simple, simple message tonight, but it was very meaningful to me as I prepared. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, would you please help us tonight? Father, would you help us for your glory and for our good and for the sake of Jesus Christ? Amen. I'm going to read verses 22 to 27 in Exodus chapter 15. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. Then they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Now when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people complained against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" So he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed a tree. When he cast it into the waters were made sweet. There he made a statute and an ordinance for them, and there he tested them and said, "If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you." Then they came to Elim, where there were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees, so they camped there by the waters. So let's recount, or let's look at what actually happens in this section. Moses and Israel are journeying away from the Red Sea, and they are in need of water. And they find water, but it's bitter water, and it's undrinkable. And the place is called, the place is called Marah, which means bitter, literally means bitter in Hebrew. And the people complain. They murmur against Moses, and Moses prays, and God shows Moses a tree, and they throw it in the water, and it makes the water drinkable. And then the Lord addresses Israel, and they travel again, and they come to a place of plentiful water and vegetation, and they camp there. So that's just a quick overview of what this text tells us in this historical recount of what happens in this text. Tonight I'd like to look at verses 24 and 25. And the relevant things that those verses said are this. The people complained against Moses, and Moses cried out to the Lord. The people complained against Moses, and Moses cried out to the Lord. Now those are two very different reactions, aren't they? The people complaining and Moses crying out to the Lord, those are two very different things. One of those things, the first of those things, the people complaining against Moses or murmuring against Moses, one of those things is a direct challenge to the sovereignty of God. The second of those things, Moses crying out to the Lord, is a direct appeal to the sovereignty of God. One is a direct challenge to the sovereignty of God, and the other is a direct appeal to the sovereignty of God. Now, if you notice, in those two sentences, there's only one word of difference. But that one word of difference is all the difference in the world. Challenging God's sovereignty and appealing to God's sovereignty. One of those, the first one of those, says this. It says, "I don't like how you run your creation, God. You're doing it wrong." The second one says, "You run your creation, God, and I need your help." And what I'd like to do today is to really think about this in our lives. You know, if you're here last week, which is most everyone, you know that we talked about this section last week, and we talked extensively about complaining. I guess, extensively as you can do in 41 minutes. Actually, not as extensively as you can do in 41 minutes, but we did talk about it. But I want to really think about this in our lives today. The two things, not just the one, the two things. The complaining against Moses or someone and the crying out to God. I want to really think and apply this to our lives. The one attitude that says, I don't like how you run your creation, God. And the other attitude that says, you run your creation, God, and I need your help. One of the, we kind of looked at four areas last week to apply the complaining to our lives, right? And if you didn't catch it, because I didn't state it, those are the four spheres of authority is the reason I picked those four areas to talk about complaining, because we love to complain against authority. And that's, I mean, I could have picked a million different topics, but that's why those were picked. But tonight I just want to look at this contrast. I want to look at the family. I'm only going to look at one of those spheres. I want to look at the family. And I just want to start with our spousal relationships. And so we are presented on a daily basis with our spouses, obviously. We live with them. We're with them lots. And we are presented with situations almost daily where our spouses are sinning. And we are presented daily with spouses doing something that you don't like. You know, it may be that they didn't put their shoes away and you like their shoes away. Or it may be that their socks didn't quite make it into the laundry basket again. Or it may be that you didn't like how they handled some situation with the children. But there are situations every day that they are either sinning against God or sinning against you at the same time, and or just doing something you don't like. And the question is, how do you deal with that? Do you complain about it? The shoes, the socks, the kids, you name it. You know what goes on in your house. Do you complain about it? Do you complain about it to them? Do you complain about it to someone else? Do you complain about it just to yourself, in your heart, in your mind? Are you justified in your mind in your complaining? As you think about that, when you have those situations, I want you to think about real situations in your life. In your mind, when you complain to your spouse about the shoes, the socks, the cabinet door being left open, car not being washed like you wanted it to be washed, are you justified in your mind about that complaint? I'm quite certain Israel was justified in their mind about their complaining about water. They were thirsty. I'm sure of it. I'm pretty sure that as they are sitting here in the desert or wherever they were, and wilderness of Shur at Marah, and they come upon this water that after being thirsty and they can't drink it, that they were pretty justified in their own minds against Moses at this point. And their complaining was, they were entitled to their complaining. Is that how you deal with that? Or do you pray to God in those situations? Do you pray to God? Do you pray for patience? Whether your spouse is sinning or just doing something you don't like very much. Do you pray for patience? Do you pray for joy? Do you pray for peace? Do you pray that you will love your spouse? Do you pray that you will respect and submit to your spouse? Do you pray that you will help your spouse? See, I want this to be real. In the moment, we'll get to that later. But how do you react when you have these everyday situations with your spouse? Are you prone to complain Are you prone to pray? Specifically, in the moment with the real situation. What about with your children? When your children are sinning. Or when your children are just doing something you don't like. When they haven't shut the door for the 1,000th time this week. You know what goes on in your house. What do? Do you complain? Do you yell? Do you yell about the situation? Whatever it is, the door. I'm sure you have opportunities with shoes and socks, and just like you do with your spouse. Do you yell about it? Do you complain? Or do you pray for the same things? You notice when I talked about praying, the praying wasn't, Lord, fix my spouse. It wasn't, Lord, can you please convince my spouse to actually get the socks in the laundry basket? You pray that you would have patience with your children. That you would have joy in your household, even when the door isn't shut. That you would have joy in your household. Not that there would be joy in your household. That you would have joy in your household. You pray that you would have peace. That the door being open, that the cup not being put where they've been instructed to put it, is not as important as their souls. It's not as important as unity in your house. It's not as important as an attitude of joy in your house. What do you really do on a day in and day out basis? Now last week we also looked at workplaces. You can consider these same things in your workplaces. You consider these same things as you think about your how you deal with the government at any level. You can think about the same thing when you deal with situations in our local church, whether it's with leadership or with one another. You can run that same algorithm. My new son Riddick used that word in the car the other day. I thought that I was interested in that for a 9-year-old. You run that through the same algorithm and see how you do in that context. When something real comes up, do you complain or do you pray? Do you challenge God or do you appeal to God? You know, one result of Jesus' death and resurrection and our consequent salvation, of course I'm talking to the believers in the room right now, one result of Jesus' death and resurrection is that we have direct access to God. That's real. We have direct access to God. There is no separation from God for His people. There is nothing blocking us from God. As we just talked about, the veil has been torn. The veil was real and it was intentional, and it was to separate the holiest of holies from the nation of Israel, from the people of God. We have no such veil. We have direct access to God. We can really and genuinely pray to God. We can genuinely appeal to God for His help in the times that we need it. Do you? Pagans and unbelievers have no inclination to do so, and they have no other option than to challenge the sovereignty of God. They do not have the inclination or the ability to appeal to God. The veil is not torn for unbelievers. We are not like that. We have access to our God. we ought to desire to go, and we can go, all due to the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Because of what Jesus has done in our lives, we can go to God, and we ought to go. So do you go? Do you go to God? Do you pray? Not do you pray ever? Not do you generally pray? Not are you a praying person? But specifically, in the moment, do you go to God for your help in your time of trouble? Or do you complain? Moses called out to God. We saw it right here. Moses called out to God often. If you read from Exodus through the end of Deuteronomy, Moses called out to God often. Job called out to God in his time of trouble. Samson called out to God. David called out to God. David called out to God often. Esther called out to God. Jesus called out to his Father. Jesus called out to his Father in the garden, in his moment. Do you call out to your Father in heaven? If you didn't know, I'm preaching to myself today. You're just participants. You get to hear along as I preach. But, again, I hope strongly that the Spirit of God will work through His Word in my life, and that He will work in your life, and that we will be sanctified in this area. I don't think I'm any different than anyone else sitting in this room. I think there are certain things that are common to man. So I think this part of our flesh, we can all be sanctified together. And consider this text. The people complained against Moses, and Moses called out to the Lord. Father, will you work in our hearts? Father, will you help us to recognize the heinousness of our complaining and our murmuring? Especially in light of the access we have to you to help us. How you have clearly told us in your word that we are to go boldly to the throne of grace in our times of trouble. And yet we are so preoccupied with ourselves and what we want, and we don't go. Father, will you help us with that? Will you help us to understand that the shoes aren't really that important? They're not important at all. And the door being open isn't important. What's important is who you are in our lives. And what's important is how we conduct ourselves in the household of God, in our own households. What's important is how we live out the relationships in our life, because it's a direct reflection of who you are in our lives. So, Father, please help us. Work in our hearts. Amen.